Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Born Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Bourne, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you?
Hiya, how you doing? You all right?
I am indeed.
You are indeed. Oh,
do you know
Chris,
I'm happy
what are you doing? Chris, it is not the time to be eating chocolate.
It is always
not
the
even
time to be eating chocolate.
Melty Kiss is the chocolate you're eating at the moment. A strawberry Melty Kiss. What's that about?
So Melty Kiss is the first chocolate you need to buy when you arrive in Japan, Pete. Mm. It's made by Meiji.
Great name.
And it's just chocolate that has a fruity centre. In this case, it's strawberry, although they've described it as fruity strawberry. Because strawberry isn't fruity enough. It needs to be fruity strawberry. And it is rather good. You sort of bite into it, and it's got this like chocolate powder. And then you sort of bite into it, and it's like this decadent, rich chocolate flavour. And then the fruity strawberry comes out. It's amazing. I love it. Oh. Get yourself some Melty Kiss. Not sponsored by Melty Kiss. It's great, though.
And then asbestos. And then the fourth Melty layer
Kiss
is
asbestos. Asbestos.
And mining rocks.
We need to fill the void that is your Coolish obsession. I've noticed because you haven't been to Japan in a year, you've forgotten how good Coolish is. So you
I've forgotten.
Talk about
I, forget,
it
I saw. I must admit, I don't know his name, but one of the members of the podcast troupe, or the YouTube troupe, Trash Taste. He was eating on the driving one that you guys did. He was eating a Coolish at the end of the show, and I was like, "Oh, that looks nice." After a full day of throwing yourself around a racetrack, the delicate chemical white cold kiss of delicious Coolish right in your mouth.
I would ship you some, but I don't know.
It would have to be, you'd have to put it in ice and in polystyrene and then make sure it got to me in about 2 days maximum. But it'd be so expensive.
We could find a way. We could like charter out a Learjet to fly to London, filled to the brim with Coolish for £500,000. You could afford it.
Let me get the ads. Well, if people keep writing those 5-star reviews on iTunes, if people keep telling each other, telling their friends about the podcast, maybe one day we'll be able to afford a one import private jet flight for some Coolish refueling in Kiev or something.
It would be totally worth it. Totally worth it. Yeah. Oh, man. That's some good news, though. Old Journey Across Japan 3. We've got a series title. We're about to announce the title. It's the first place I'm announcing it before it goes live.
Oh, my God. Wednesday, the whatever it is today of whatever month it is today, the Journey Across Japan 3 series. Well, subtitle, I suppose, isn't it?
Subtitle.
Yeah. I'm going to guess. Is it Journey Across Japan 3?
Yep.
Chris Broad just can't sit still.
It's not. Yes, again.
No. Okay, right. Journey Across Japan. I've got ants in my pants.
It's definitely not called that either.
All right, fine for now. Journey Across Japan 3. I've bought a new camera and I want to try it out. I want to make it tax deductible.
Are you referring to my mine exploits from Sunday's episode? I went down a mine with an 8K camera. No, it's none of those things. It's Journey Across Japan. Journey Across Japan, The Lost Islands. Ooh.
Oh, Whoa. Hello. How are you getting? Are you going to get to all the islands then? That's exciting.
Kayak. Kayak and Natsuki. Kayak. Use Natsuki as a kayak. It's
fantastic.
Yeah, we've got a few islands lined up. So it's all set in Kyushu, right? Mm. For those who don't know, Kyushu, I guess it's Japan's smallest island of the four main islands, right? Of Shikoku, Honshu, Hokkaido, then Kyushu. Could be wrong. I should probably read up on that. But Kyushu's a beautiful place. And it's very, the scenery in Kyushu, there's nowhere else quite like it in Japan. Because it's probably the most volcanic part of Japan. It is just one like continuous chain of volcanoes. And it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I passed through it on the original series of Journey Across Japan, but because I was sick and depressed and wanted to die, I only made like one episode there. It was a real letdown. So we're kind of going back under that premise to make up for that. To go to Nagasaki, which is the last city that I've yet to visit, Natsuki's going to go to his ancestral ancestral home of Asol, because his name's Natsuki Asol, yeah. As he likes to joke, he's an arsehole. Natsuki Asol. He loves to joke about himself being an arsehole. It's great. So we're going to go there and find his ancestors, which is ridiculous. I think he's probably like not, his family hasn't been there in Aso for like four generations. So don't think there's going to be many people left there from the Natsuki dynasty. But we're going to have a look anyway. And we're going to go to lots of different islands because Kyushu has so many different islands around it. For example, there's Yakushima, which is going to be our first stop, which is kind of like a mystical island that a lot of people say inspired Studio Ghibli films, like Hayao Miyazaki films. It's kind of a very mystical place, lots of forests and waterfalls and shrines. I don't know what we're going to do there. I've got to think of something good because walking around a shrine, it's lovely. But it's not going to be cost-effective to travel that way just to do that. So we've got to think of something. We did find some sort of Airbnb that comes with a goat. So we'll find a way to put that in the story.
A free goat. Exactly. Do you get to consume the goat? Do you milk the goat? How does your connection to this goat work exactly? Do you get to consume the goat?
From what I understand,
it's there.
It's just a beloved member of the family, this house.
Right, okay.
And they have a goat.
So does the goat...
and eat the goat that they love so dearly.
Well, look, you could. That's all I'm saying. It's an option.
It's not Hartlepool.
It wouldn't be outside.
It's not Hartlepool.
I don't think you'd get... You wouldn't get arrested for cannibalism. You would get arrested for theft, wouldn't you? That's how the system works. It shouldn't work like that, but it does, all right?
Oh, good God. We've also found... there's a fisherman, I think, who will take you out on a boat and let you catch fish, and then you go home and eat it at a barbecue or something. Does that sound good?
Oh, so that's fine. You can eat. All right, so you can eat the fish. You can't eat the goat. Unbelievable. Right, okay. I see how this one works.
The Pete Donaldson scale of pets.
I like that, though. I like going out with a fisherman and him and hit. Well, you having a crack at catching something, and then the fisherman just grabbing your rod and going, give it here, idiot. And then... Have you done much fishing? Because we went out, obviously, with the seaweed fisherman in Ishinomaki, or what it's called, or whatever it's called. And we got some seaweed off the ropes, off the farms. But have you ever sort of done any sort of like, because I don't think our sea legs, they weren't renowned, were they? They weren't amazing, I thought. Certainly not at 5 o'clock in the morning. We didn't look like we're having the best time.
No, I felt very sick. Although, to be fair, that was because I was trying to film it through a viewfinder. And I was impressed by the footage I was able to take actually that day, but felt dreadful. I haven't done real fishing in like 20 years, so I've got it's going to be really weird. I hope we can take the goat with us on board, go fishing with the goat.
Yeah, and nice. GoPro.
GoPro on a goat, running around a boat while we're trying to fish for salmon or whatever they have
in
Yakushima.
It.
Yeah, so that'll be the first episode, all of those things combined. Yeah. Then we're going to go... make our way through Kumamoto and go to Mount Aso, the biggest volcano in all of Japan and one of the world's biggest volcanoes, this massive caldera. And there's like on top of Mount Aso, there's like a volcanic area that's like a desert, this black, kind of black desert. And I want to kind of walk across there and film some scene of Natsuki doing something in a really cinematic way, probably just smoking.
It.
You can use the flames of the volcano to light a cigarette. Can you do that? We'll find out. I've also found this really unpleasant looking cave that is really mysterious. It's like a town that has a cave and nobody knows why it's there.
Right.
They say it was built like 2,000 years ago, but again, nobody knows what it's for. But it looks messed up, and so I'm thinking.
It was dug out by someone.
Yeah, it was dug out by someone. Yeah, it's like some sort of cult built this cave 2,000 years ago,
and we'll put a torch.
Well, I think
a little peek.
A few people have walked down it. Don't know if they've come back, but we'll put a torch in Natsuki's hand, strap a GoPro to Natsuki's head, kick him down it, and see what happens. And get the 8K
Do I need to remind you that there are bears in your country? and do I need to remind you also that where bears live, they live in caves sometimes.
That's true. And there's also snakes in Kyushu, quite a lot of snakes and spiders. So I'm not looking forward to
that.
We found another island off the coast of Nagasaki, which has a lot of abandoned buildings, which we're going to go and investigate and stay overnight on and kind of see what happens there. But, you know, I think it'll be fun. And I think no matter what we do, it could be a complete disaster. It could be rubbish. Maybe we don't find anything. Maybe we can't get in the cave. Maybe the goat's dead. Maybe the fisherman doesn't like us and he doesn't want us on the boat. The fact that Natsuki's there, it's going to be a laugh. Natsuki, Joey, it's going to be a good time, I think, no matter what happens. So six episodes.
When is this kind of going to be arriving in people's YouTube holes?
I'm famous at setting dates.
Last
in
the time, yeah. So don't set dates. Just give yourself a fair date. Don't say we'll do it next week and it'll be ready next week. Just give us a rough estimate.
Well, it won't be bloody filmed next week, so I don't know how that's going to work.
Oh, I see. Well,
we're filming it kind of in the middle towards the end of April, just before my birthday, and then I'm hoping it's going to come out around the end of May. But I should say, it's going to come out in August and then surprise everyone by releasing it in May. But we'll see. I really do want to get it out quickly, and I love editing Journey Across Japan episodes. It's a lot of fun, so hopefully, as long as I'm motivated and I've got a lot of coffee, it'll be great, and it'll be coming out in May, so you've got that to look forward to. And hopefully, towards the end of April or the start of May, there'll be a trailer as well, showing all the weird stuff that goes down. There's also a Cessna. I found a Cessna that you can rent out and fly around a volcano.
Right.
I mean, I won't be flying it myself. It comes with a pilot, thankfully.
and a goat.
And a goat. You get a goat and a pilot in a Cessna, three seats. I'm a little bit scared. I've talked about it in the past. I don't really like flying. I get a little bit on edge, shall we say. So Joey really wants to go in the Cessna. I'm not so sure, but I guess it could be like a overcoming a fear of flying could be kind of fun. Is that fun?
But I mean, again, but you're overcoming a fear of a very small plane. You know, like it doesn't really solve all of the other flights you're going to take because it's a very small plane. And also, you say Cessna, it's not going to be like a big kind of 20, like a 10 man kind of pleasure jet. This is going to be like a 3-man kind of little budget Cessna kind of job.
I think that's scarier though, because it's going to get blown around like a fucking dog.
I agree with you. I think it's
thrown around like a dog toy in the wind.
It's a terrible idea, Chris. Don't do it.
But like, I feel like, I don't know. You're kind of right though. Like going in a jetliner, that scares me because you're 30,000-40,000 feet. It's not as if you could just get out easily. A Cessna, if something goes wrong, which it probably will,
because
it flies around a volcano
parachute.
Through the smoke. If the engine gets clogged, you could probably. Hopefully, glide it down to safety, or just crash and die
in the volcano.
Into the volcano.
If you were sort of like at the ridge of the volcano, right, and you're floating, and the plane was going down, and the pilot went, "Look, you can either land on the side of the volcano in a fiery mess, or you could slam it right. We could fly right in the belly of the volcano with like magma and shit." You would
like
say,
magma
let's do the magma one. Because if it's certain
the magma
death anyway,
one.
Get it in the volcano, mate. Get it in there.
Journey Across Japan into the volcano, season 3. Literally into the volcano.
I'm not doing this podcast by myself. You'll do what you are told, Sunshine.
We'll get an AI. You'll get an AI me to just sit here and
Lovely.
Be me. I don't know. I think it'll be fun.
You'll be fine. And the Japanese are known for one thing, looking after their secondhand goods. So their planes are probably beautifully kept.
You say that, but I did look up the company. This is because I'm like really pedantic over flying. I looked it up.
Right.
And there was some technical glitch with one of their Cessnas that they had to write off, I think. So it didn't fill me with much confidence.
They wrote it off. Every time a plane gets into difficulties, things change. It's one of the more perfect industries. I mean, it has to be, but I trust them implicitly.
Apparently, it banged into the runway too fast. Banged into the runway and it like, shattered the wings or something. So, well, we weren't flying in that one.
Don't do that. Yeah. No.
Oh God! Now I'm actually quite scared talking about this. God damn it! But it'll be fun. It's going to be a great season. It's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, we'll be talking about that more later on down the line in April when more details come up.
Cool.
I have basically just revealed the entire plot of Journey Across Japan, and that's a lot of spoilers. What have I done? We've got a story here from Paul and Rachel, and it begins, "Hey, Chris and Pete, my name is Paul from Australia. Big fan of the podcast. I usually listen when catching the train to work. I'm a medical scientist." Nice one, Paul. We need more of you these days, given everything going on. "I've been to Japan twice, once on an all-expenses trip with my brother, which ignited my love for Japan. And more recently, I took my girlfriend Rachel in February 2020, before the end of the world got into full swing. On our trip, we went to stay at Koyasan for a few days, a small town in Wakayama Prefecture near Osaka, atop a mountain where most of the buildings are Buddhist temples, many of which you can stay at. On our first night there, we wandered around looking for somewhere to get some food and stumbled on a tiny izakaya that wasn't even marked on Google Maps. So like the travel hipsters we are, this is where we chose to eat." I must say, that's a bold move, Paul. I don't think I have the balls to go into anywhere that's not listed on Google Maps. Google Maps has changed me. I don't feel as daring as I used to be. But nevertheless, the tiny bar seated about 8 people, and once we sat down, it was full. We couldn't help but notice that everyone watched us come in and out, and we had the feeling that not many foreigners came here. But this turned out to be a good thing, as the locals very quickly warmed up to us, and using what English they knew, we managed to communicate some basic information, like where we were from and where we had visited in Japan. Then, one of the men pulls out a pocket translator, and the night really takes off. The man worked in publishing, and said he used the translator for work. Then using the translator to speak to us, and me using my fractured N4 level Japanese, we were able to communicate. It turns out one of the men had been to Australia and regaled us with his adventures and asked us if we'd met Crocodile Dundee. Sadly, we hadn't. But my girlfriend just so happened to work in crocodile management. So we showed them some photos of her and her team handling gigantic crocodiles, and the comical reactions of everyone at the bar were priceless. Then a strange thing happened. The owner of the izakaya asked us our favourite Japanese food and drinks, and we answered takoyaki, sushi, katsudon, nikko whiskey, etc. And then over the next half an hour or so, every dish we mentioned was brought to us, even though they weren't even on the menu. They assured us this was their treat, and we ate and drank into the deep hours. Needless to say, we came back the next night, but we paid the second time. We didn't pay the first time. Stories like this are the reason we're already planning our next two trips to Japan once the world gets its act together and travel is back on the menu. All the best to you both, Paul and Rachel." Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? I'm not sure what the moral of the story is. The moral of the story, go into an izakaya. It's not on Google Maps. Show people at the store your favourite crocodile photos. And if they like you, you'll get food that isn't even on the menu. What have you taken away from this story, Pete?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. I mean, just be nice and conscientious, and sometimes you'll get free nikko whiskey, I suppose. Yeah, takoyaki, sushi, katsudon. It's not bad, is it? I mean, that's it. I mean, they will have had to have like cooked all that food, surely, as well, no?
Oh well, I bloody hope so. Well, it's gone down the convenience store. It's one of the staff well, like, buy, like ran out the frozen back door and stuck it out, got out of freezer.
Exactly.
At the convenience
well, you can buy like frozen takoyaki. I mean, they're pretty disgusting, but they work.
I don't know if they do work, to be honest. They're pretty rough. I think it's lovely. It reminds me of that show on Netflix. I think it's Midnight Diner, the one with the kitchen, the guy going to the Midnight Diner. It's a good series. I've only watched a few episodes, but the series Midnight Diner, it's about a kitchen, an izakaya that only opens from midnight. And it's like the straddlers and the stragglers and the people who've gone for like 3 or 4 work parties and then just walked off alone, sort of turn up to this diner. And the guy's like, "What do you want? I'll cook you anything." And then they ask him for some food and he cooks it. But for some reason, they always ask for really simplistic and boring items. Like if I walked into an izakaya and the chef was like, I'll cook you anything, I'd be like, all right, cheese souffle, cook me a ratatouille, and like really put him on the spot. But all the patrons in the show just turn up and like, do you cook chicken and rice? And he's like, whoa, I think we can do it. And he just gets some rice and just slaps some chicken on it. It's like, bloody hell.
Right, I see.
It's like Chris's
Kitchen. Do you cook
kitchen,
frozen pizza? Yes, I do. Strangely enough, yes, I can probably do
that.
Can
you reheat yesterday's Chinese dinner? I think I can.
Yeah, exactly.
The Pete Donaldson Kitchen.
Sometimes. We'll see how this one pans out first.
But a lovely story. I think the moral of the story is, if you go to a Japanese izakaya and you use a bit of Japanese, people will love you and it'll go a long way. And that's something I've always found, right? Once you show you know a bit, people will make the effort. And that's why you need to learn a little bit of Japanese, even if it is just Pete Donaldson level.
Agreed.
It served you well.
What a level that is. What a level that is.
It served you well. So news of the week. This week, this is a ridiculous story. A young female Japanese biker, a rather attractive female Japanese biker, turns out to be a 50-year-old man with a face app.
It's kind of
a viral story on Twitter. It's ridiculous. So there's a biker on Twitter called Azusaga Kuyuki. It's a really complicated name. To be honest, if you want to get to the article, just type in female Japanese biker, 50-year-old man, and it will come up. But basically, it's a relatively attractive woman. I actually genuinely thought it was a woman when I saw these tweets, but it turns out it's actually a 50-year-old bloke. He's very clever at using a face app. The only thing he has in common with this attractive female Japanese biker is he does have long, flowing blonde hair, which I'm assuming he dyes.
Yes. Well, yeah. So I've seen this guy, and those kind of face apps, they do work better with kind of like Asian faces, I find, because like obviously all of these apps begin in China, and they've got massive data sets to play with, probably gleaned from some government agency, you'd imagine. But they seem to just be more convincing when it comes to their faces. And he's got lovely flowing hair, so he's halfway there for me. He's not an unattractive man, but he's whacked his face into a face app and become a bit of a sensation. Really fantastic.
But looking at the face of the girl and looking at his face, there's nothing to insinuate that it's him, right? It's not like one of those apps where you put your face in, you become like a girl, like, which just gives you your eyelashes and makes your face soft and whatnot. Like, it's not like that. This is like really advanced level stuff. It's really quite scary.
I just want to know how the documentary or the TV show makers managed to sort of figure it all out. Incredible bit of sleuthing from them.
Yeah, so Monday Late Show, really popular Japanese variety show, hosted by folks that discuss kind of like really hot topics and wacky topics. The production team tracked down this biker guy, and I wonder if they were assuming, oh, this is an attractive biker girl with a large following. Maybe let's go and check her out and see what she's about. And then they got there and it's just a 50-year-old man who's like, hello, where's the girl? I am the girl. I am the 25-year-old biker girl. I don't really know how that came about. They must have had a tip off. Somebody must have tipped them off. But interestingly, people aren't really angry about this. I recall we had a similar story to this before, maybe a year ago. And everyone was angry and felt they'd been lied to. But here, people online have been quite receptive and quite kind of seen the humour in it. It's like a 50-year-old man has been kind of cheeky. I don't think he's been doing it for like sleazy, dangerous reasons either, shady reasons. He's just done it for a bit of fun, really.
Having a bit of fun. But he's very popular. It's a beautiful, thing. It's a beautiful bit. I'm just drawn in by his beautiful eyes.
I think he created the kind of persona of his ideal biker woman using his own face, which is quite an interesting concept. There's an idea for a short film in there somewhere. I know there is. But I mean, what you said about the old the Chinese face apps, and I think it's probably, I don't know if it is a Chinese face app, but it might well be. They're very advanced, aren't they? And quite scary.
They're incredible.
There's a lot of compilations.
This may be like a new kind of thing. I don't know what you know, people... like, for example, trans people's their feelings on it, but like presenting as female, presenting as a woman, is something you can do digitally nowadays. So maybe there isn't an argument to sort of say this is who he wants to be. This is how he wants to present himself online. So good luck to him. So, but it's to have an expose on the TV, possibly a little bit distasteful. But I do like the fact that he's got this kind of like persona online. It's been done before. It's been done with CGI characters and stuff.
I'd see it more like he's created a character that he feels invested in rather than to mislead people. And the fact that the show came out with him on it, clearly it had his blessing. And it's kind of sad for him because now it's kind of probably, it'll either kill off his career or it might lead to bigger and greater things. Maybe people would love to follow him and see this persona. Who knows? But it reminds me of that story a few years ago where there was a Chinese woman who used the Face app and like made herself really beautified herself, and this guy like proposed to her over the internet, and then they met in person, and she was very, very different from the post's edited version that she portrayed online. And he sued her or something, didn't he, for lying to him, like getting his hopes up and wasting his time. She's rather sinister, but these face apps are pretty advanced and blow my mind.
They're incredible. I don't know how they do it. It's amazing.
It's also quite scary though, isn't it? Like the direction they could go in. You know? But I think it's a nice story. And go and check it out. Young female Japanese biker turns out to be 50-year-old man. Google that. Get ready to be shocked and surprised. Second story of the week is some sad news. Some of Japan's most iconic vending machines will soon be no more. One of Japan's biggest vending machine companies, Nichide, is closing down a lot of its hot food vending machines, which you typically see at service areas or airports on ferries. They're these vending machines that you can get these microwave like hamburgers and chicken and fries out. To be honest, I've never really been a fan. I've had it a few times and it really is a last resort for me. I don't find them that good. And I don't know if you've ever eaten one of these, Pete.
I don't think I've had any hot food. I may have had like a noodle every now and again, but I think we're talking about the ones that do like little hamburgers and fries stuff. And there's one that does takoyaki and stuff, and it's just disgusting. Absolutely, the rankest of rank frozen food, quickly microwaved and heated up. It's just, it's not right. It's horrible.
I can't say I'm a fan of them, and just these frozen burgers coming out of a bloody vending machine always fills me with dread. But they're shutting them down. After 30 years of service, they're going out of business. Customers traveling could stop at service areas and enjoy some hot food. But unfortunately, there isn't a lot of demand for our services anymore, says Nichide's spokesman. I guess people aren't buying it either. The thing is, there's so many bloody convenience stores these days, right? Are you going to go and get a frozen hamburger out of a microwave vending machine, or are you going to go to 7-Eleven or Family Mart and get some cheeky Family Mart fried chicken? You're going to do the latter, clearly.
You are. You are.
either level up, to Nichide, I say level up and give us the gourmet, luxurious vending machine food we deserve, or just go ahead and close them all. To be fair.
More of those pizza ones.
Well, exactly, right? The pizza vending machine, that was, well, I was going to say it was good,
fresh,
but I feel like that's it wasn't entirely accurate. But it was interesting, and I would get it again. Like the whole pizza vending machine concept was kind of cool. The way it comes out of the machine, it takes a few minutes to bake it. It's not, I don't know if it's technically microwave. I think it is oven baked in the vending machine itself, and you get a little box to put it in afterwards, like a kind of takeaway pizza. I always thought that was kind of cool. I think Nichiré should steal that concept.
The fact that these kind of, I think the most interesting thing, and it's the sort of thing that sort of draws you to Japan in the first place, it's the bespoke nature of it all. You know, these machines that, you know, some of them are just little microwave machines that do burgers and stuff, and then others are like ones that knead dough and bake dough and sprinkle ingredients and stuff. It's like, Jesus, can you imagine how difficult that would be to get a machine that reliably does that product well without any fuck-ups? It's incredible.
It's astonishing, given that vending machines in the UK still get stuck like one out of three times. The crisps will get stuck. The chocolate bar will be hanging off by a thread and it still won't come out. Never happened to me in Japan yet, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I remember when I went back to the UK with Natsuki for the first time, we were at like Gatwick Airport for whatever reason, like you are, and standing on the train platform, and I was like, I'm just going to get some hula hoops. And I went over, put the £1 in, and the hula hoops went, and just got stuck. And I was like, oh, come look at this Natsuki. Something he wouldn't see in Japan. I gave him a real culture, a real British cultural experience that day.
Yeah.
British culture exposed. The crappy, broken, inefficient vending machines that you don't find in Japan. God. We're going to take a quick break. Back in a moment with a fax machine.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week at Sukarnov.
On Wrestle Me, Mark Haynes has been telling me about the world's tiniest man.
Like, you wouldn't remember that guy coming in.
Flobbing in.
Like,
a big pancake.
Massive sort of soft biscuit. Yeah, are you sure he's 6 inches? Do you remember him?
Do I remember him?
Right, then he isn't 6 inches.
He's got a very unique body.
You can also join me on the Luke and Pete Show, where me and Luke have been trying to come up with excuses for our poor hairstyle choices.
Now, more than any other era of my life, I care less and less about what other people think.
It's unfortunate. I think we're at the time of life where we've probably got more disposable income than we had 10 years ago, and we don't give a shit about what anybody thinks, and that's how midlife crises begin. I buy this stupid thing. I've got a scooter now. I'm wearing a ponytail.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
And we're back. What have we got in the week? What have we got in the week? What have we got in the
what
fax
we got in the
machine?
Week?
What have we got in the week? What have we got in the
what
week?
What we got in the fax machine? We've got a message from Patrick. Cheers from New York. He ends the email, so we know he's in New York. Hey, Chris and Pete, I thought I would write in a response to a recent email you read out about the time that you guys were photographed making an Abroad in Japan video in New York Park. I don't even think we were making one. I think we were maybe recording a podcast or just dicking about. I want to tell you all about a time you photographed me.
Oh my God.
And I didn't even know it.
Oh God.
Wow. I visited Japan in October of 2018, and since it was my first time there, I went to Tokyo, Kyoto, and Osaka. One of the highlights of my trip was when I visited Kyoto Monkey Park. A few weeks after I returned from Japan, I noticed a new Abroad Japan video titled 24 Hours in Kyoto, Japan's Best Monkey Park. I jokingly thought I was just in Kyoto. I wonder if I was in this video.
Oh God.
Well, about 2 minutes in, to my shock, I noticed someone very familiar in the monkey park. It was myself. Somehow, I failed to notice the two of my favourite podcasters were standing just 20 feet away from me. I think I was either too focused on the adorable baby monkeys and the chaos that was monkey feeding time, or too exhausted from the Universal Studios Osaka adventure I had the previous day to notice. I mean, if you're from New York, that is a time difference and a half, Patrick. I imagine you're absolutely exhausted. When it's safe to travel again, I'd love to come back and visit Japan and maybe make a second accidental appearance in an Abroad Japan video. I'll include some proof in the form of photos. Us below. And yeah, indeed, you kind of see Patrick, I'm on a Word document, but yeah, if I sort of make that picture a little bit bigger, you can see he's having a lovely time. I think he's got nuts in his hand or a camera or something. I don't know what he's feeding. I think he's going to feed the monkey something, but yeah, very enjoyable. Well done, Patrick.
What a lad. Yeah,
if
you want to see Patrick, go to the Kyoto video and go to 2 minutes 7 seconds, and there he is behind the distant monkey with his blue shorts.
Patrick looks so nice. I feel sad that we never got to meet him. I'm furious with myself. Bloody monkeys distracting me.
Oh, man. God. Yeah. I love this. Like, this is going to keep happening, isn't it? People are just going to realise, wait a minute, I was in the back of the Osaka video. Look at that. Just go through the whole portfolio and have a look.
Have you ever been caught in the back of something while you're doing something else? I don't think I've ever. Maybe I'm just not very, very observant.
I think somebody tweeted me not too long ago that they saw me with, I think, Joey in Shibuya, just walking down Shibuya Crossing. It's a little bit scary. I mean, I remember I was at this a few days after this Kyoto monkey episode, I was in Fukuoka, right? And I went to this gigantic Buddha, the name of which I can't recall right now, but the biggest Buddha in Japan. It's laying down like this, like on its side, and it's an amazing sight. And after I went there the same day, I got a message, I think. I can't remember where I got it, but I got a message from someone. And it was like, I saw you at the Buddha. And there's just like a photo of me standing there looking at the Buddha from a distance. And that really creeped me out. So now I'm a little bit like paranoid whenever I'm out and about. Am I in someone's photo? You've got to be careful though when you shoot folks in the background in Japan. Because I think there was a case on Japanese TV a few years ago where a guy in the background of a TV show was seen walking down the street with a girl cheating on his wife, and he successfully sued the TV show, won lots of money, and from there on onwards, Japanese TV shows like blurred out everyone, which must take a staggering amount of time. And I feel so sorry for whoever edits Japanese TV shows, but like, it's just not.
They must be able to automate it these days. They must be able to automate a lot of that stuff now. Just pick, literally, just have a scene, pick out him, her, and just block everyone out that's it's in the scene. Then, and then they're out for the whole scene.
That's why you've got to be careful when you're out filming people as a result. I hate blurring faces in my videos. It looks so horrible. So I always try and frame it in a way that you don't see that many other people. But yeah, something to be mindful of. They don't like that over here because, unfortunately, lots of people with secret girlfriends.
Possibly FaceApp.
Or FaceApp.
And a mirror.
Absolutely. We've got one from Awab. He says, hey, Chris and Pete, my name's Awab from Finland. I'm a fairly big guy at 6'3" and 82 kilograms. How is Awab lighter than me, despite being so much being over 6 foot? I'm 85 kilograms and I'm like 5'10". I was thinking of going to Japan as an exchange student, but wondered about the food, as I've realized through your videos that the portions tend to be quite small. How easy or hard is it to gain or lose weight in Japan, says Awab? Oh, I think it's pretty easy to gain weight because
food.
It's me, isn't it? Yeah, it's good food. I've done a terrible job. Because it's the end of March now, Operation Metamorphosis is about to begin, where I become like a butterfly being reborn. I lose lots of weight and get fit that I've put on throughout the last 6 months of bloody winter and all the snow when I can't go out or do anything.
Get on your Strava. Get on your Strava, Chris.
Get on my, what's a Strava?
I think, isn't it one of those things that when people go for runs, they always log what they've been doing on their Strava thing, and it's a little bit tedious.
You mean like a Fitbit?
Yeah, like a Fitbit, yeah. But you can just tell everyone about your bloody runs.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I could do that. Just show off. I mean, losing weight in Japan, it's easy, but it takes
difficult,
some
man. Is it easy? I mean, like, it's the food you can buy is very healthy, I think, but there are also some terrible choices you can make at the same time, which is annoying.
I think that's a fair judgment. Because I don't cook, I inevitably eat a lot of rubbish food or good food.
Mm.
It's very unhealthy. If you go to the supermarket, there is a lot of good, like, raw, healthy vegetables and fruits and pickles and things and natto and kimchi, but I don't do that. And that's a problem. So
that is a problem.
If you can cook awab, if you're going to be an exchange student, just go to the supermarket. You can live and eat a healthy lifestyle in a way that I just never can and never will. Over to you with AJ from Boston, Pete.
AJ has got in touch from Boston, Massachusetts. Huge fan of the podcast, and I have been slowly walking my way through the backlog after starting at the beginning. Listening whilst at work makes my days go so quick. My question today is this. What is the best onsen that are mixed gender? My wife and I have been to Japan before on our honeymoon and are planning another trip and want to do an onsen, but want to do the whole thing together. Last time we went to Unison in Hokkaido, and while delightful, I was wondering if there was anywhere else. Thanks for putting on a great podcast. I'm putting out all of your videos, AJ. From Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Group ladies and men's onsens.
I mean, would you want to go into a mixed onsen with your girlfriend, Pete, and just be with loads of strangers naked? You probably would, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point, actually. What do you call it when you want to show off a lot?
When you want to.
You're winky. When you want to show your winky off. I can't remember.
Sketchy.
I probably wouldn't have a massive problem. I imagine my partners might have more of a problem than me. But, I'm a people watcher as well. You can't be a people watcher in a shared onsen. You just can't. It's just not allowed.
Yeah, I mean, I've did it a few years ago with my then girlfriend. I think we went to. There's a lot of good mixed onsens. There's a good one in Akita actually called Tsurunoyu, which is a really famous one. Beautiful onsen,
right?
Very hard to get into, but because it's a long waiting list. But it's just really awkward. I remember going with my then girlfriend and people looking at me and her, and we're looking at them, and it just overrides the whole point of an onsen is to be relaxed, right? To just flop back and just relax and let the hot, soothing waters do their work. And you can't do that when everyone's staring at you and you're staring at them going, oh, look, they're naked. Ooh, that's weird. You don't get this much. So I think that overrides the experience. If you want to do it, there are quite a few onsens that do have that function. But for me, for most couples, I'd say just get a room with a good private hot spring, a private Rotenburo, and quite a lot of them do have that. Like, get one of the ones. Originally, when we did Journey Across Japan 2, we were supposed to go to Mount Fuji and stay in a kind of a hot spring where we had a mixed bath, but we didn't get that for whatever reason. We stayed in a capsule hotel. Why did we do that? I don't know. But they just get a private one. And trust me, it's a lot more relaxing, a lot more fun. And you can drink beer in there and take selfies for Instagram, which is what people want to do. Are you with me, Pete? Do you agree?
Yeah, just look. We've shared on some before, and I wasn't drinking you in, so I
did
could. I was, but then I've been in ones with like mates and stuff, and they've insisted on wearing their pants, and that's not allowed.
No way,
Chris.
Well, you can't do that.
Not allowed. Yeah, I know. Terrible. Well, hotel ones, which is not as nice, obviously, but yeah, they insisted on wearing their bloody pants. It's like Jesus Christ,
cheating.
Get your winkies out.
Good God. Well,
crying out loud.
With this Journey Across Japan 3 trip, I have found a really nice hot spring with a big bath that can fit me, Joey, and Natsuki in. So get ready for that.
Yes, please.
8K, Natsuki, Joey,
I'm
Chris.
I'm on the Reddit. I'm writing some erotic fiction. Oh, beautiful. God. Some slash fiction. Brilliant.
It's going to be absolutely
Natsuki with
horrendous.
A cigarette on.
Oh God, there's an image to behold. Journey Across Japan will be out soon in April, but for now, guys, that is all for today. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll be back on Sunday to do it all over again. For now, but wherever you might be out there in the big wide world, have a great week, and let's do it all over again on Sunday. Bye for now.
Peace.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.